Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Lyle. And again, no Wayne.
Yep. He's definitely out hanging with the Happy Jacks crew, at least according to the latest show notes.
Yeah, and he didn't actually tell us. I had to find out from the show notes.
Right? Yeah. I think he actually has dumped us. I also have a bad cold, so while it means I might be coughing a lot during the episode, it also means I have a really good voice.
So this one's for the ladies.
That's right. All this gamer talk for you, ladies. So did you see the Stephen Colbert thing on the lightsaber?
No, I didn't.
Because he had a reaction to all the people calling the new lightsaber stupid with the two prongs that could be sliced off. He said maybe those prongs kind of are just on the side to protect your hand, and the beam is actually like a T-shaped beam, so the lines go all the way through.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's a pretty good explanation. I'm kind of pissed at myself that I didn't think of it first.
But then if somebody comes down, they hit it, and you'd always have to keep fixing your lightsaber.
Yeah.
Lightsaber, yeah.
True, but better than replacing a hand, I suppose.
I guess. No, somebody actually redesigned the lightsaber.
Oh, the one with, like, the twisty bits that
stop. Yeah, with the guard.
Yeah, it's kind of like where the guard, instead of out in a T shape, like a broadsword, the tines kind of twisted around and, stuck upward like a, almost like a W or a V on the outside of the blade, so it could catch any lightsaber that was in there. Which was a pretty cool design.
I finished True Detective.
Oh, cool. End well?
Yeah, it ended better. I mean, I thought it had a weak second act, but a decent third act. But I think by the third act, you figure out that it doesn't really matter who did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about watching, you know, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey interact.
Cool.
So you accept that, and it's really just a buddy cop movie, a buddy cop TV series, but dark and in Louisiana.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not much of a travelogue for a Louisiana, though.
Yeah, you know, I was just trying to think of, like, there's True Blood and there's True Detective, and it's like, I can't think of a really positive Louisiana movie.
It has some shots that maybe more attractive than True Blood or sells Louisiana a little bit better than True Blood, but it doesn't present the people in a great light. Any of them.
I watched a movie a long, long time ago called Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. You seen it?
Yeah. Jude Law, Kevin Spacey?
Yeah. Was Jude Law in that?
Yeah, he's in a small part.
Okay, I don't remember.
He's probably not the person I should have said first. Kevin Spacey. And Dreamy Jude Law?
Yeah. I just remember, like, it's one of those dual representations of the South, you know, it's a really dark kind of movie, but at the same time, it's, I think it was set in Georgia. Don't quote me on that. But it just made it look absolutely gorgeous. And the few times I've been to the South, it is a beautiful area.
And evil.
And, like, I started watching The League. And if by started means I watched one episode of The League.
What was that one about again? I forget.
It's about a fantasy football league. It's a comedy series.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I don't know. I'll watch at least one more episode, but I'm going to skip ahead to the fifth season.
Okay.
Because they have Jay Cutler in it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, it's set in Chicago.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it is a football town.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It's a hockey town, too.
Yes, especially recently.
Used to be a basketball town,
too, when the Bulls had it. It really is a town, you know?
It's got sports. Well, it's December, and we try to do a Christmas episode in December, and this one is going to be the ultimate Christmas episode because it's going to be Creature Feature Santa Claus.
Sorry.
Totally unplanned. So those unfamiliar with our Creature Features, this is where we try to take a creature out of legend or out of our ass. Like when we did Bankers.
That's right, yeah.
Femme Fatales, Felice, yeah. And for the first part of the episode, we talk about how they're depicted in myths and legends or how they're depicted in movies or TV, books. Mm. And then we look at how to portray them as antagonists and how to portray them as protagonists. Like most of our creature features, we're going to cheat a bit. And with Santa Claus, the way we're going to cheat is we're also going to talk about Santa's helpers. I guess people are pretty familiar with Santa Claus.
Yeah, I don't think we have to go over the whole red suit and everything.
Got that, yeah. I suppose something that's quite interesting about the legend of Santa is just how it's evolved over time. So whether you're starting from St. Nicholas in the 4th century.
Or Odin in the centuries before that.
Yeah, like incorporating the pagan stuff. Mm. And I guess the running theme is how to just make this character more appealing, or how to use this character to make other things more appealing.
Yeah, actually, that was the thing that really struck me, is just how much of a tug of war the character of Santa is between, like, in the more modern days, corporations for commercial purposes versus, you know, governments or social groups, and of course the different sects of religion. Yeah, it's incredible. I think there was some book written about the commercialization of Santa, and it was talking about how that began in the 1820s with kind of the modern depiction of the guy in the red suit. But when I was reading back in history, I think it was in like the early 15th century that Martin Luther first suggested, you know, hey, we should have this character give gifts to children to promote Christianity, kind of pushing on that into it. So it's really interesting that just because it's such a popular character with children, how many people have tried to control and use the image.
No, yeah, absolutely. And it's a good example. You know, people are talking about building religions for their games, and using that is just how much religions or figures borrow from each other, or cultures borrow from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons is to make them more appealing to the culture that they're trying to subvert or dominate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Romans were really good about borrowing different things from other cultures,
mm-hmm.
and allowing some to stay, jettisoning some.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we were talking about Odin, so a lot of elements from there.
A huge number, too.
Yeah, the goat. Mm-hmm. I guess Odin had two goats, but they have... The Yule goat.
Yeah, there's a couple different versions that I've seen of it. There's the Yule goat. There's his horse Sleipnir. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Probably not. There's some with him in a chariot.
Yeah. You know what I read? That the Yule goat, which is very popular in Finland, and I'm not going to try to attempt Finnish. Mm-hmm. It begins with a J, and there's a lot of O's. Yeah. Hey, it's not a warrior's. You know, get off my back. But people actually write to the Yule goat.
Really? Not
so the
Santa.
Yule goat, I guess, does deliver presents.
Hmm.
And then people actually write to them. And you think, wow, that's crazy. But I guess I'm going to say, yeah, it's more crazy than writing to Santa Claus. Because Santa Claus, you can imagine him reading it.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? Hold up the letter to the Yule goat.
He eats it and absorbs its knowledge.
And there's a few things surrounded this Yule goat. Mm-hmm. One is where they make these like wooden or straw goat,
mm-hmm.
and they don't do this anymore, but in Sweden they would hide a goat in mm-hmm. their neighbor's house, and if the neighbor found it, then they would have to go and hide it in another neighbor's house.
And just to be clear, they're hiding the small straw goat, not an actual goat in their neighbor's house.
Right, an actual goat, yeah. But I was even thinking, if you know, like an actual big goat,
mm-hmm.
even if it's fake, and hiding that and just be such an inconvenience.
But... Yeah, right. I say go the full gumption, stick a real goat in your neighbor's house.
And then there's a town in Sweden. I'm going to say Gavel is how you pronounce it, but it might be the Scandinavian, Swedish, you might have to say Gavel.
Sure.
Sure, yeah. Or Jelen. Yeah, Gavel. Yeah. Anyway, saying the same thing. Yeah. And it's I think a 13-meter tall goat.
Whoa.
And it's made of straw. And they kind of see if it'll last until Christmas, or oh. whether or not vandals will burn it down.
It's like the Burning Man in Sweden.
Yeah, no, and actually the goal is that it does survive, but mm-hmm. it's only survived for 10 years. And they've been doing this for 40, but it's only survived 10 of those 40 years.
Huh.
So it's sort of a little game
mm-hmm.
that involves arson.
That actually sounds quite dangerous, actually. 13 meters tall of burning something is, yeah. Yeah, you know, talking about Odin, too, some of the things that...
Odin.
No, they was talking about some of his physical characteristics, like the long white beard and the blue cloak, which is weird, because I remember my old babysitter, and like when I'm saying old is because I was a little kid, and she was old then, so we're talking, you know, better part of a century ago. She said she remembers the days when Santa wore a blue outfit rather than red.
Well, I think some countries still have them. Maybe Eastern Europe, you have Russia,
mm-hmm.
Have them wearing blue, and it's more to do with the Father Christmas mm-hmm. or...
Oh, yeah, Old Man Froz, Dead Moros. I'm sure it's not pronounced it, but I like pronouncing it this way. I think he's in both blue and red variably. I'm actually looking at a picture of Vladimir Putin dressed up as him, but he's wearing red.
Oh, that's from the blood of the
Ukrainians. Yeah, I was going to make that same joke.
The blood of Ukrainians. So, yeah, Putin kind of kills the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
I give you present, little boy.
Yeah, and I think there was an artist named Nast who is responsible for a lot of the things that we associate with Santa Claus, mm-hmm, at least yeah. visually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I read, you know, the guy who wrote Wizard of Oz mm-hmm. and those books, Baum. He wrote a story about Santa, mm-hmm. and at that time they said, like, so much about what we associate with Santa Claus what hadn't been nailed down yet
yeah.
that he was able to, like, create, like, a pretty far-out story about Santa Claus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, including, like, immortality and that, where they had to, like, the people who wanted to be immortal or wanted to be Santa Claus, these mm-hmm. truly immortals would, in a way, vote
uh-huh.
and determine whether or not they could be, like a Santa Claus.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What was the one, the guy who wrote Narnia, what was his name?
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, thank you. Yeah. He, because Santa was in his stories as well. He came by and he gave all the presents to the children who had gone through the Narnian closet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's funny, like, a lot of things that are associated with Christmas when you do that. Like the Green Knight, Gawain and the Green Knight.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
He's associated with Christmas because he comes during a Christmas feast.
Mm-hmm.
But he shares some similarities with, you know, the naughty or nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he kind of does. But, like, who's going to cut off my head?
Yeah.
So, and then he then tests them later. And mm-hmm. if they're worthy, then he's not going to cut off their head.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, spoiler. You haven't read Gawain and the Green Knight. Immortal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, yeah, so there's that. The Wild Hunt
mm-hmm.
is also is associated with, like, Christmas feasts, and that
yeah.
they're supposed to be more active around that time.
Well, yeah, I mean, not just Santa, but spirits and ghosts in general.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny, like, how they have those things. Like, for example, Italy has the La Befana, which is a witch
mm-hmm.
who gives presents.
Oh.
Yeah, a good witch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're bad, then she'll give you black candy instead.
Could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could be
a
stick. Yeah, or a head cut off from the Green Knight. Yeah. He didn't last very long. He wasn't too popular with children. But there's some, like, from Germany, of course.
Yeah.
In Austria and other Germanic countries where they have, like, the goat-like demon called the Krampus,
mm-hmm.
who, although looks like something straight out of hell, actually just gives them, like, sticks or something if they're bad.
Yeah. Well, I was reading that some of the older depictions of Santa, especially in, again, in Eastern Europe, he was pretty mean to other children. Like, he would steal them away in a burlap sack. He would hurt children and stuff. This a mean, mean man. But, of course, the good children, he always gave them presents.
Oh, okay, these are the bad children. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Well, that was the thing. They're saying that, like, in some cultures, Santa played more of a boogeyman function instead of the kindly, generous old man.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
And then other cultures, they would just have things like Krampus, like the assistant that was the bad cop to Santa's good cop.
For example, the other one, the try this, Père Fouettard. That's French for Father Whipper.
It's not even close to French. What is that? I don't even know what language. It's like some made-up language.
Let me try it again. apparently, this guy, I'd never heard of him before looking into this, but he was one of the companions to Santa Claus. He travels around. He wears, like, these dark clothes, has this long, scraggly beard, and he carries a whip with him. And Santa's kind of like the good cop, and this guy's the bad cop, and he goes around and whips and abducts bad children.
There's good cop and S&M cop.
Yeah, exactly. But the origin story is the craziest part. Apparently, this guy is the owner of an inn, and three wealthy children come by on their way to some school or event or something like that, and he and his wife kill the three children in order to rob them. And Santa finds him after he's killed these people, and his big punishment is to forever accompany Santa and, you know, beat up children instead of Santa.
I kind of actually like that.
Exactly. Yeah. That this is a punishment. But holy cow.
No, it was an interview. It was an internship. And
Santa's like, I could use you.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's the guy from The Ghost of Christmas Present,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot like, I think, like Father Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I actually found him pretty scary.
Really?
Yeah, when I watched the, Alistair Sims' A Christmas Carol.
Huh.
I don't know. It's a pretty classic one. You may have seen it.
Probably. I don't remember. If you described it, I would probably remember it, but I don't know.
It's got a guy named Scrooge.
Yeah, thanks. The Alistair Sim one, of course.
No, it's the one where, it's got a guy, almost like a younger looking Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's like standing with the cornucopia, and mm-hmm. and then he takes Scrooge around, shows him the present. You know, everybody knows the story, and
right,
then
right.
he's got that haunting voice at the end, like, "Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouse?"
Huh.
And Scrooge asks, "Oh, what about these kids? These starving kids?"
Yeah.
And he throws Scrooge's words back at him.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty.
And he's just like, "Wow!" And then it goes to Christmas Future. But I was like, "Man, you've already got
you've been schooled."
Yeah.
Huh. That's weird. The Ghost of Christmas Present never bothered me as you know, the skeletal one afterwards.
Well, I mean, that was scary too. Mm. But
you were a deeper child than I, and adult for that matter.
That was just child labor.
And then, of course, there's the ones that are just politically wrong. Was it Zvita Pete?
Yeah, Black Pete. Pete.
Yep, Black Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, that was in the movie Collateral, a variation of him. So Zwart Piet uh-huh. is the Dutch version of it, and mm-hmm. I think they called him in Collateral, and I think it's like a Mexican crime boss.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Mexico, is talking about Pedro Negro, or mm-hmm. Negro Pedro, Black
oh, okay.
Peter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty big scene.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this character is... he's basically, I guess it's from the 1700s, 1800s or so, but he's basically Santa's slave. It sounds like they tried to update it in the future to where he rescued him from slavery, and thus he decided to work for Santa forever without pay instead. So, I don't know. But
this form of slavery is so much better than the last exactly. form of slavery.
The depictions are pretty terrible. It's almost got, like, you know, the big lip makeup on and everything from the depictions that I've seen. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah, he looks like a minstrel show.
Yeah.
A kind of minstrel show blackface, except wearing more squire or like page boy style
mm-hmm.
outfit. Yeah, and the Dutch are just mad about him. They love him.
Yeah, it's weird how popular he is.
And they've tried to update it where he's more rainbow, where he wears rainbow outfits and perhaps is allowed to be different colors.
Yeah.
But he's still pretty controversial because the Dutch, for people who haven't been there, are pretty white.
Yeah.
And Black Peter is pretty black.
Mm.
So, but I would think they would have enough immigrants where they could drop the blackface.
You'd think, right?
And then just like, you know, it's like Othello. You know, now that we've got more than just white males acting in these Shakespearean plays, you know, let's drop the blackface, you know.
But I suppose in the older traditions, he also played that kind of, not as bad as the Père Fouettard, the Father Whipper guy. But he was the one who delivered the lumps of coal or the bundle of sticks to bad children, where Santa gave the nice presents.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the sticks is interesting, eh? It's almost like they're not giving it to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving it to the parents.
Yeah.
There's a hammer in this boot.
Exactly.
What's this barbed wire? Well, that's what Santa says we're going to be whipping you with.
Exactly.
Oh, for people unfamiliar with that tradition, is that in countries like Germany, they'll leave a boot or a shoe on the 5th of December. And then St. Nicholas comes along and leaves either treats or a stick. So
mm-hmm.
I was living in Germany when I was a kid, so I left out the little boots.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I remember getting a little toy catapult. So
maybe
my parents were supposed to torture me with that.
I was going to say, did your father shoot things at you?
That was pretty good. It really stood out. I used to get a lot of little knights and stuff like that.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then from Iceland, there is the Yule lads, or the Yule men.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really interesting in the sense that there's a lot of them.
And they're freaky.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
Like right out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to try any of the Icelandic names because they're very long and full of consonants. But the translations, there's one, or Spoon Licker, or the Door Slammer. And they're pretty descriptive names because the Spoon Licker, for example, sneaks inside your house, waits for you to leave out. It's basically an Icelandic version of a ladle, and then steals it and licks it. And his depiction is extremely thin due to malnutrition. There's ones that like hide in shadows and steal meat with giant hooks. And
they call him Meat Hook.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Yeah, Meat Hook. There's window peeper.
Mm.
That's...
Yeah, he's a voyeur, yep.
But he's searching for things to steal,
mm-hmm.
like your child's innocence.
Or your privacy.
And these guys are insanely popular in Iceland.
Yeah. There's pictures here of them like doing stage shows and everything where they're depicting all of their actions. It's really creepy.
Well, recently they're more benevolent and they'll bring presents, but they also play pranks. And by mm-hmm. pranks, we mean felonies.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But yeah, there's the one who harasses sheep.
I wonder if this is one of those things where the parents kind of play this up. You know, like some parents will make sounds for Santa coming to visit or eat some of the cookies that the kids have left out. Something. I wonder if in Iceland, you know, when the door slammer comes to town, the parents just wait until 2 a.m. and slam their child's door or hide in shadows with a meat hook.
Some of the things that they steal, though, are a bit odd, like candles or pans.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why the parents would be really into that.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Each their own.
I can't see in the dark. Well, somebody stole all the candles. Maybe if you're a better child. The candle stealer wouldn't have come in here.
I think they have lights in Iceland.
Oh, where are the pans? Can you make something? Nope. Stubby stole the pans because you were a bad kid. Yeah. Oh, the Yule lads. Yeah. A lot of good stories, but I guess the stories are all kind of the same about Santa.
Mm-hmm. Like, kind of samey.
I mean, they're either what you would expect, you know, Miracle on 34th Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, you know, yes, there really is a Santa Claus. Oops, spoiler on that one.
Yeah.
Or they're like really bizarre. Like, there's, like, Santa Claus on Mars, or Martians.
Oh, yeah.
And
why have I
like
seen that movie? Ah, because it's Mystery Science Theater. That's right.
Really out there. And then there's, like, movies like Bad Santa or Elf.
Right.
So, really difficult to mine those for ideas, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, really, you just got to go with the customs. I was reading about the psychology of Santa, and some psychologists arguing about keeping the secret from the kids and how it could damage the kids and cause some mistrust in their parents. But somebody raised a really good point, and it was saying that the lie is cultural.
Mm-hmm.
It's not between the kids and the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So when you learn about Santa, it's actually a rite of passage when you learn the truth. And then now they feel older because they're let in on societal secret, the adult secret. And the people younger than them don't have it, so they have something over them. So that was really interesting.
That is. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah. And it just made me think it would be really hard to think of something else where everybody is in on the secret or the conspiracy, other than 9/11. Sorry. Too soon? Too soon? Maybe I should have said Kennedy. I don't know. So just, you know, having something like that within your culture where it's like in D&D, it's like somebody's like a cleric and then they're like, their power stopped working. It's like, well, you've now entered in, like, there's no Palor. This gods exist. Are you mad? Are you crazy? He's like, what are these powers? And I'm like, I have no idea. Mind over matter, my friend. That's why all you could do was heal, really? Could you do anything really special? No, I could heal. No, people walked it off. All right. You can stop praying. I'm good.
So, yeah, I mean, you're right. A lot of the depictions of Santa are fairly samey. He can travel around the entire world in one night to deliver presents to all the children. I suppose he's kind of all-seeing or all-knowing in some sense, and that he knows he has a list that, if it doesn't describe specific actions, it describes who's generally good and bad or moral or not.
Well, according to one cartoon, it actually lists why they're good and bad.
Ooh.
Or at least why they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a cartoon.
Oh.
And it was a song.
Yeah. Well, supposedly that's where the whole good and bad list came from, was from the Santa Claus is Coming to Town song.
Oh, really?
That's what Wikipedia said. I don't know if it's true or not, but
Wikipedia is not a lie. No, mine was like, there's a song, and it's like the elf looks at the list, and he goes, oh, Billy Jones for 7 years hasn't washed behind his ears. And then Santa goes, well, haha, there's still some hope. I'll just add a
bit of soap.
A bar of soap, yeah. So, but what were they doing the other 6 years?
Yeah. Well, it didn't rhyme, so the elves never thought to bring it up.
Yeah, or there was other crimes. He killed a cat. Oh. Oh, only not washing behind his ears. We're down to that. All right, I'll just give him some soap. We'll give him a present this time.
Yep, I think there's supposed to be that he's immortal. You know, he's kind of not so much immortal, just an everlasting character.
Yeah, that gets back into Baum's Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, where, he really talks a lot about Santa Claus's immortality and, again, how it was earned. So Santa always being there and it's always being the same guy. I think people have played with that where somebody replaces Santa.
Yeah.
There's the Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, that amazing Tim Allen movie.
Tim Allen. I think there's like sequels to that, maybe. Yeah, I don't know if Tim Allen, I don't know if they could afford Tim Allen for the sequels, but definitely immortal. He's also the ultimate B&E guy, the breaking and entering guy.
Yes.
Because he can get into everybody's home. Well, even if they don't have a chimney, although that's the story. He gets in through the chimney and anywhere else, I guess.
Mm-hmm. He's got his cool gadgets like his flying reindeer, his sleigh, and his battle wagon, as it were. and his handy haversack.
Oh, he can disappear.
That's right. He just sticks a finger in his nose.
On the side of his nose, dude.
I meant to say on his nose. But...
And my finger has just disappeared. Where is it?
Oh, no.
It's in your nose. Is it?
That's just stopped working on my daughter. She's two.
What were we doing? Sticking your finger up your nose? Where is
I'm just kidding. he puts the finger on the side of his nose and he goes up the chimney or whatever other place he came out of.
Yeah, so super fast, moves around. He's got a few.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he's not really depicted as being super fast, but somehow able to travel the entire world in a night. So some extra dimensional stuff going on there.
Very quiet, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess not really, because he's about as quiet as the parents are quiet.
Well, so you could work that into where something where he's able to make people stay asleep. Except for little Timmy.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Mm. Yeah, somebody who puts people to sleep. Mm-hmm. Oh, Michael Bay coming to mind. Except for little Timmy or whoever else is paying to watch these movies.
Yeah. Exactly right.
All right, well, those are some of the helpers and some of the powers, a little bit of the story of Santa. Mm-hmm. And Chris and I were talking prior to the episode. It's just we think playing him as an antagonist would be much more interesting. So we'll do that first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll end on a low.
Well, you know, I mean, going through all of those powers, he can be an incredibly powerful creature of sorts.
Where to begin? I guess exactly. Motivation would be one is, why does he do this? Why is he helping everybody? Mm-hmm. Is he helping everybody? Like, he comes into your homes. Why does he do it? Do you want him to do it? Mm-hmm. And then he punishes your children, and Santa Claus decides whether they've been naughty or nice.
Right.
So, parents play it. Or tell their kids, you know, wow, I'll tell Santa that you've been naughty. He's going to give me that stick or hammer to discipline you.
That's the thing. Like, when I first thought of antagonist, I thought of, you know, actually putting him in the part of a villainous character. So instead of the giving presents thing, he sneaks into houses and takes things or hurt people. Like, going on with some of his other depictions, you know, like the Father Whipper character and the abductor of children and whatnot. But I think you're right that if you play it straight, where he is still this guy who comes on one night of year and leaves presents for people, you can really get into some pretty creepy territory. Like, is there something wrong with these presents, or there's some kind of nomination process? Because I think you could really depict Santa as a tragic character through his immortality. I mean, maybe he doesn't want to forever deliver presents to everyone in the world. And, you know, living in the North Pole probably isn't the nicest of climes, you know?
No, you're saying that about the presence and leaving the presence, and maybe that can be something. Is he an antagonist where he's opposing people, or maybe this falls into protagonist territory, or neither? It's just an element that moves the story forward, where the gifts that he leaves lead the story forward or launch the story. Mm-hmm. You know, and we take like the classic heroic fantasy story. You have, yeah, generally the guy, but, you know, we've expanded where it can also be the woman as well, mm-hmm. kind of the peasant hero. And then they get something. Oh, Luke, here's your lightsaber. Or Frodo, yeah. Here's your ring. Mm-hmm. And then that starts the story, is they receive something of great power. And, of course, you know, the peasant hero is a good hero. Mm-hmm. They have a good heart, and they just need to unlock and see their full potential. And Santa Claus launches that story. Or the Santa Claus figure launches that story. And, I mean, you can even make it where it is this worldwide myth. Mm-hmm. And everybody's wondering, what are the presents that are going to be left by this Santa Claus figure? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, if you're deserving, and maybe you could do it. I mean, almost every kid gets presents, whether or not they deserve it or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, what did you do? You know, oh, I didn't kill a cat. Wow.
Yeah, exactly right.
So we'll put you in the get nothing.
Wait, did you wash behind your ears?
Yeah, okay, you're not going to get the beating, but you're not going to get the present. But maybe it's really special. It's the chocolate factory. Willy Wonka, the chocolate factory. Just almost like a golden ticket. So rare.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could attach something sinister to the presents themselves. So you could make it something where the presents have some kind of magical scrying kind of magic on them. So it allows Santa and or his helpers to keep eyes on the kids. Could be something to where it's entwined with fate somehow. So, for example, little Timmy this year, he gets a toy truck for it. And then 6 months down the line, he's run over by a truck. There's some kind of foreshadowing within that.
I like that. And what's great in the story is that then it gives them the clue, so let's try to prevent it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, perhaps. Oh, a monkey's paw? Come on.
You will be killed by a monkey, young Indy Jones.
A loaded gun? What is this?
But you know, actually, mix that with what you were saying about giving the guy the sword. He eventually goes to try and stop Santa, and he's like, Santa, why did you give me this sword? And Santa's like, to stop me. Get that whole tragic character thing where he can't stop giving the presents, so he wanted to make somebody who could stop him.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty sad. I can see people just kind of looking at their hands at the gaming table going...
Wait, you want me to kill Santa?
And then there's also the punishment that they give. We were talking about the stick, and then kind of figure out maybe the stick's for the parent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it could be silly here, but you know, he leaves a dragon to burn down the village because they have bad kids. And then maybe that's kind of, not necessarily the dragon, but some sort of terrible calamity. And it doesn't just befall that child, but it befalls the family or it befalls the whole village. Everybody gets very, very worried.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Twilight Zone episode with the kid who's got the superpowers and everybody's like really nervous.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Around him because they're worried that he's going to get angry. And then this is like, you don't want to offend the Santa Claus creature.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty interesting. I like that.
Yeah. It's going to set him off on the list. But there's also, of course, if they're leaving punishments and unwanted gifts and but just the idea of like a thing that can get into anybody's home and do whatever it wants. Mm-hmm. I guess you appease it with milk and cookies or wine in the case of the La Befana, the witch, because, of course, Italy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, in Britain, I think it's a hot cut glass of brandy, too.
Yeah, there's some parts of New York, a syringe of heroin.
A shot of vodka. But, Dad, that's what you drink. I know.
Oh, you know, it's a Pizza Hut. It has a pizza now with a Doritos crust.
Wow.
So you leave out, you know, some of that Doritos pizza and a blunt. It's on the West Coast, Washington, Oregon.
Yeah. How to trap Santa. And then, of course, you know, there's always just if you want to go straight evil with him, you could just have him as an evil character with all of those different kinds of powers. Immortality, quick travel, able to get into places, and he just goes in and steals things or hurts people. And, you know, that by itself is a pretty difficult villain to beat.
No, absolutely. It's a really difficult villain to beat. But the idea of, like, you have the good cop and the bad cop, the two sides, the dark and the light side of this god.
Mm-hmm.
Or this godlike creature. Mm-hmm. So you have, people just have to Google Krampus. It's a K. And see the costumes that people wear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, in Austria when they had the festival. And you're like, wow, that's something straight out of a monster manual. And just, you don't know who's going to visit you.
Mm.
So that could be the nerves. But yeah, I wonder if I don't think any of his helpers have the same amount of powers, but it could just be which one's going to show up, or can you somehow convince the good one to stop the bad one? Is that kind of the story?
Yeah, I was kind of saving it for the protagonist part, but I was thinking about that where they're actually kind of opposing forces, but maybe in a similar way to Vampire, to where the good one, the Santa Claus, can only go into the houses of good children, whereas the evil one can only go into the houses of bad children. So they have no way to directly confront each other. So Santa could almost be like a patron to a player group to try and go against Krampus or Father Whipper or whoever it may be.
I think Santa also, when you take the helper idea, it's really good when you have something all powerful. You really got to build to that.
Mm-hmm.
So he does have the little helpers like Krampus, the Whipper Man, the Yule Lads.
Yep.
Start small, pan, spot, build up the goats, and then meat hooks.
Yeah.
So different things that you can encounter or overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a lot of cool gadgets, we said gadgets before, but like the reindeer, so I guess it's living things.
Mm-hmm.
He has a functioning economy workshop.
That's true. I mean, that's the thing. I think it's been done in media before about how maybe the elves aren't working by choice or they're slaves or something like that. That's one way to do the antagonist Santa. I mean, you know, sometimes I worry because it's kind of like getting into like the Christmas special session of a role-playing game when you involve the Santa. But I mean, even if you didn't use the name, just kind of using this style of character, there's a lot to build on.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I mean, we keep using the word Santa, but we're talking about some sort of figure and just certain elements that are good to pull out. And one of them, I think, is the sort of the cultural understanding of the cultural myth.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody agrees on those rules.
Well, you know, actually talking about that, the idea of a cultural myth, who's to say that it has to stop at the children, you know? Maybe some of the adults believe in it, too. So you could get some adventurers who are somehow being put on a quest to deal with this Santa, whatever the case may be, but it doesn't actually exist. It's only people's anecdotal stories and things like that. not a very exciting climax, I'm sure. And it was nothing, but
But what was it? I mean, with us, there's a reason, or there is an answer to how those presents got there.
That's true, yeah.
And it was, it was in the house all along. It was the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cliche. It's like, he's in your house.
Mm-hmm.
it's something like that. Even the Wizard of Oz, and it's like, I didn't have the power, but you had the power all along. I mean, it's just not, you get to the end and it's, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's it then. Yeah. No, it's like, doesn't exist, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because, you mentioned it before about the presents. Even if you took a completely normal situation like now, but there is one extra present under your tree that you and your wife didn't buy for your kid, and it says from Santa. I mean, how did that present get there? That alone is actually kind of creepy. You could play with that kind of situation, that kind of feeling in a player group pretty well, I reckon.
You're saying that, and I'm thinking about something that you could do is like, everybody has this understanding. Here are the rules, mm-hmm. whether or not you have like two sets of rules, like one for the kids, one for the adult,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But everybody has an understanding that these are the actual rules and that they're in on the secret. And then something happens where, wait a minute, maybe I'm not in on the secret because what's this present from Santa doing here?
Yeah, yeah. But,
I mean, that's a metaphor for something else. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be this present from Santa. It can be something where, hold on, I know what the rules are, but that's against those rules.
Yeah, you could take it kind of like the boogeyman aspect of mm-hmm. it. You know, the cultural myth in this city, wherever it is mm-hmm. that there is a boogeyman. And if the children misbehave, then the first step is he'll sneak in and he'll steal their shoes. And the second one is he'll sneak in and he'll steal their blankets or something like that. And the third one is that he takes the child away. And, that's all fun and good because you know that the parents are actually doing it to just try to scare their kid into behaving better. But if it actually starts happening to where shoes and bedclothes and children actually start disappearing without the parents doing, then that's a pretty big mystery to take care of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that. And just to make it, because people like to play something powerful,
mm-hmm.
You take something like the World of Darkness.
Mm.
Now, you are the monster that goes bump in the night. You're the vampire. You're the werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, here is the secrets from society. We're the secrets. And now something is happening. Hold on. What's that? Yeah. You know, that's unexplained. And I think World of Darkness does a good way or drops a lot of hints of how you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, here's what everybody's supposed to know, but there's actually something that even they don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you could take, they're a culture as well, so they have their own cultural myths and norms and understandings, and then you play with those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, yeah. I think that's a really good way of looking at it. What would World of Darkness do? WWWDD.
I'm trying to like, does that work? So there's that. I think that, that's coming back to it again and again, but that's my favorite part of the Santa thing. It's just everybody's kind of in on the secret until you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah. So you mentioned playing him as protagonist, Chris. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we both thought this was the more challenging of the two, and challenging in the sense because it could be boring.
Yes.
So how could you play Santa as a protagonist where it wouldn't be boring?
Well, I think one of the problems that I ran into is that Santa is not only a unique character, but he's a singular character. And he does have assistants like Whipper or Black Pete or something like that. But two things is, nobody wants to play the sidekick, and also you don't really want to make somebody play Black Pete either.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah. But I think actually you mentioned earlier, Lyle, about having him play the man, as we did in a previous campaign. Not with Santa, but with the man.
And by the man, we should probably give some background to that. Especially, it was the pulp game. It was a Hollowed Earth Expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of thought about guys like Doc Savage, where they're the man, they're the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the main guy's got a cast of supporting characters. And yeah, they definitely would have to do that if Santa's the protagonist, whether or not the Santa character actually is a player character.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much everybody else, or most people, are going to be playing the supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons is that they're not omnipotent or not omniscient like Santa's supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
which can be a very boring character.
Very true, yeah.
It could actually be good in the sense where they're given tasks to do, and maybe repugnant tasks. Imagine if you're the Krampus and, you just look like a monster, but you're not really a monster.
Oh, that's interesting.
But you're given tasks of putting sticks in shoes, but
mm-hmm.
it tears at you. Obviously, you'd be giving tasks a little bit more heinous than that. But
right.
And somebody else is given the task of giving out gifts or things like that. A little like the archangels, not to get too religious here, but mm-hmm. The archangels like Gabriel and Michael, we're given some tasks that are good, certainly, mm-hmm. but also tasks that might be a little hard on the soul.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I think Supernatural, the TV series, does a good job of trying to portray how the angels deal with things like that.
Hmm.
But there you have an example of powerful creatures, but powerful creatures that take their orders from something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That kind of goes along with World of Darkness as well, as you know, that vampires are very powerful, but they have very powerful limitations against them. And you could do that with Santa as well, you know. He obviously has those powers that we listed before, but you could put pretty strong limitations against him in that maybe he can only travel at night like a vampire or something. He can't use front doors. He always has to go through chimneys or something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Or you could do something like they did with Cabin in the Woods.
I missed that one.
Oh, okay. I won't say too much because, yeah, I think people should watch that movie. So I won't reveal any of the details, but there is something that has to be done
mm-hmm.
By a certain point. And I would just recommend people watch that to get an idea of what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But if we bring it back to the Santa Claus myth, is he's got to deliver all those presents by Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So you do it, the helpers, whatever task they have to do, either good or bad, they all have a time limit.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be done by this point in time. And there could be some consequences if these tasks aren't done. And it could even be like a step removed. It's not like I need to give, using that sword example in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
I need to give this sword to Stella because Stella is one of the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to use the sword, blah, blah, blah. No, it's just this is part of some sort of universal or world ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And Stella needs to get X, because if she doesn't get X by this time, there's going to be serious consequences.
Oh, I like that. How it's kind of like
yeah.
a fate entwined.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, maybe Stella's getting something good and Rodney's getting something bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a punishment. But that's the way it is. This is the way the universe operates. It's, you know, the yin and the yang, you know, good needs to be rewarded and bad needs to be punished, but it needs to be done like so
mm-hmm.
within these rules. And your job is to make sure that that happens.
Well, that's really cool. I like that a lot.
I don't know how good that would be for a sandbox game because it's very task oriented, mm-hmm. but you can put up, I mean, or people could say, well, hey, let's see what happens if we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, bad things happen. But I mean, while they're trying to do these tasks, of course, you know, you're throwing obstacles to try to prevent them or to slow them down.
Yeah. Or actual characters like, again, the bad cop versions of Santa actively working against them.
Yeah. Or I mean, they could even be the bad cop version of Santa trying to do it.
Very
their
true,
bad
yeah.
thing, but they're doing a bad thing that actually has good consequences. Because if the bad don't get punished, worse things happen.
Yeah, you know, actually, that was kind of the first place my mind went when I was trying to think about protagonist version of Santa, is I actually went to that extraordinarily cliched Tim Allen version thing where something has happened to the Santa, so the character or characters have to take his place and deliver all the presents at night. But I think that's a really cool spin that you put on there, and that's you could really make something out of that.
You know, I didn't even think, even though I mentioned the Santa Claus earlier, that actually could be a lot of fun. It's like somebody normally fulfills this role,
mm-hmm.
and now this group has been dragooned to fulfill the role. Now you could take it like a complete departure, and it's like, oh, the Avengers have just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are now the new Avengers. You could be minor league superheroes. You could actually be super villains. I think there's that Savage World setting, Unnecessary Evil.
I think it's Necessary Evil.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
and for people unfamiliar with that setting, it's I think all the superheroes get killed or disappear,
mm-hmm.
and it's an alien invasion, so now the supervillains have to take their place.
And, yeah, save the world.
Yeah. Unnecessary. This is so unnecessary, this evil. I think I was confusing with that Keanu Reeves football movie, or maybe it was Scott Bakula. It doesn't matter. Unnecessarily long.
Sorry, they're not Jude Law. I don't care.
Yeah. I think it was one of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. I think that was one of his first American roles.
Oh, no kidding.
No.
Oh, it was a really good movie.
Yeah. And he's a good actor. You usually count on him really coming through in a movie.
We're Jude Lawing again. Back on track, target.
Jude Lawing.
No, but I think you could really play around a lot with that. And it doesn't even have to be to where Santa is real. You know, it could be where there's a group of people who give gifts to children or who do something in a society as part of this this cultural lie. And for some reason, it has been disrupted, perhaps by the characters. And it's their job to now go and take care of it.
Yeah, make it
and
right.
That might include breaking and entering into people's houses in the middle of the night to give gifts, which is could actually be quite a bit of fun, I reckon.
Yeah, I think the players can get down with that.
Breaking and entering, I'm in.
Is there something where I torture somebody until he gives me information?
Where's my loot?
This naughty or nice list is incomplete. Let's just torture the kids. No, it does.
Wait, I'm giving stuff away? What?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there actually is a lot you can do with that.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, there's the opposite to where Santa is real, and he then gives the characters the powers. And even for a one-night, one-session kind of thing, really maxing out the characters and letting them do some incredible things, that can be a lot of fun. And, you know, even by that, it sounds so cliche, but, you know, if your group's into it, have a Christmas session, you know, make it actually be Santa.
I guess there was more to a protagonist than we originally thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could even do something like Yule Lads, where each person plays a very specific role. One of you is Peeps and Windows.
Dibs!
Dude, to look for things to steal.
That's what I was talking about. What were you thinking?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I see a spoon in there. Spoon liquor. I see a goat. I think someone, Stubby's going to be pretty happy.
Something needs to be hidden.
What I like about the Yule Lads, when you strip away who they actually are, it's just the fact that they all play a very specific role. Now, we've talked about that in past episodes where people play very similar roles and how that would be fun. But the dynamic is mostly like people fill in certain role, whether you're the, going back to Dungeons and Dragons, you're the healer, you're the magic user, you're the fighter. Or if you go to something like World of Darkness and you're like, well, I'm going to be the strong, the tough fighting vampire, and I'm going to be the more social manipulative vampire, and I'm going to be the intellectual vampire. Then people like to fill those roles, and then you fill them so much to the point where that's actually your name.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Maybe that makes it more like superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like the Human Torch. Well, what does he do? Something with water. No, it's obviously, well, Mr. Fantastic, that's a bit... So actually, the Fantastic Four are probably not the greatest examples, because only two of them work. The Invisible Woman.
The Thing. The Invisible Woman.
Yeah, The Thing. What's he do? Not sure.
Doctor Strange. He doesn't have any powers, just nobody likes him. It's weird.
Doctor Strange. Is he really a doctor? Yeah. I think he's got a PhD in religious studies or something. I don't know. Sorry.
I agree, though. You could have a lot of fun with filling in those roles, either in the sense of having to actually fill them in, like we mentioned a few minutes ago, or having them kind of be the characters to go against. Because if they have that name and that characteristic that's strongly attached to them, it's also easy to predict for it and to plan around it. And, you know, player groups love making plans and ideas, so I think that would work very well.
Yeah, and if you do it like really narrow, and I think I'm the same way. Sometimes you make your superhero and you're like, well, I want to have this and this and this, and then you're like, well, I kind of just made somebody who's not very good at anything, but I have all of these powers. I can kind of fly. But you do, when you really focus and you're like, I'm going to take this one power and I'm just going to specialize. And there's certain systems that are really good and really help you to do with that, such as champions or GURPS. Mm-hmm. Where they allow you to keep adding and building onto those powers, and it's like, well, I can do more. Mm-hmm. Like, really, all you can do is stretch, but look what you can do with stretching, and this. And that can be a lot of fun, and that allows, well, we've said it before, I mean, we're talking about, like, Star Wars or other things, limits can create creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So players trying to think is, we fill these four roles, we do these four things really well.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the task. And how can we use what we have to accomplish it?
And if all you have is a meat hook or a goat to hide or a window to lick or something like that, then...
Yeah. Window to lick.
Did I say window licker?
That's a great song, though. Love that song. I was just thinking, sometimes... Some of those terrible stories where, or they make fun of it.
Like, and they got back and there was a tongue print on the window. What?
No, I think they made fun of it in The Simpsons or something where it's a like Knight Rider, but it's a boat. Uh-huh. Oh, there's always like a canal. Oh, watching the Yule Lads TV show, and it's like, oh, great, a spoon that needed to be licked, of course.
What are the chances?
Yeah, they're just running out of ideas here.
Oh, no, I have to cook and my spoon is dirty.
Oh, there's another sheep that needs to be harassed.
I can't get this door closed. If only someone would slam it.
Yeah, exactly. We need a noise, something like the sound of a door slamming. I think I could do that. I thought you would be able to, Door Slammer.
Somewhere in the North Pole, Door Slammer perks up. Someone needs me.
Oh.
So yes, this is what we recommend for your game.
Oh, there's also Doorway Sniffer. And he has a really large nose. And a really good sense of smell, of course, which he uses to locate a type of bread. So, I think they've hidden the key in a loaf of this bread. Ah, I think I can find that.
Oh, boy.
So that ends our creature feature on Santa Claus and his helpers. There's a few elements we think that would be really good to use in a variety of games. There's the cultural myth, the idea of leaving presents and punishments, helpers playing very specific roles, dark side, light side of a powerful entity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tons of stuff to go on.
All right, well, thank you for joining us again on Out of Red Hands. Check us out online at www.idledredhands.com, outofredhands.com. You can listen to the episode right there on the website, or stream it through iTunes or Stitcher, or download it off of DriveThruRPG. You can plus one us on G+, you can like us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, or you can join up and talk to us in our forums. Those are at idleredhands.com/forums, and are hosted by Happy Jacks. Thank you very much, guys. Or you can send us an email at info@idleredhands.com.
Okay, bye, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yep, and happy holidays, happy new year.
And happy Hanukkah.
Bye.
Bye.
Drive-through RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive-through RPG. The one true source for RPGs. We'll be right back.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.
So there's a few elements that, of course, that we'd like you to walk away from. There are a few elements we think would...
We want you to walk away from our advice. Sorry.